We're going to look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Did you do this at Keswick?
No.
Oh, good. So Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. And that at the top there is the heading to the psalm, the little introduction. It's for the director of music. So you're not meant to just read this psalm. It's meant to be sung with a choir and lots of instruments. A lot of noise. Music's a good thing. So this is meant to be sung. But I'm not going to do that this morning. My voice is not in good enough form to do that. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, they're the ones that were specialists in music, according to the Alamoth, that's a musical term that tells you that the type of way in which it had to be done, a song. So here's a song. And David had a wonderful choir. He formed this wonderful choir. I looked through the Old Testament passages, and I reckon there were at least 288 people. So it wasn't a little choir. This was a big choir of the best singers, men and women, in the land. And they had not only good voices, but there were musicians as well. They had harps and lyres and cymbals and trumpets. I used to play the trumpet. Flutes, tambourines. I used to play the tambourine as well. That's my first instrument that I learned. And so it was a wonderful thing, this, the best people to sing this song. So try and imagine this great choir of Israel singing these wonderful words. Now, there are three divisions in this psalm, and you can see it because they're divided by one Hebrew word that's been left out of the new translation, which upsets me, because it's there in the Hebrew as clear as a bell. And the word is Selah. Selah. We've translated in our Lunda language, it's quite a mouthful. Dungumukenu nagotongajoka chumichi. And what that means is, be quiet, be still, and think about what we've said. Even though there's a crescendo of sound, a great noise that reverberates across the atmosphere, be still and think about what we've said. So there are three divisions, each one divided by the word Selah, a Hebrew word. And the first division is verse 1 to 3. So here it is, verse 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever, that's any moment of any day. An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we not shall not. I don't know if you are interested in grammar and English words. There's a difference between shall not and will not. That's what we learned at school anyhow. Will not, there's determination there. We've made up our minds about this thing. We will not fear. Though the earth give way. Well, first time I went to Africa, I went on a ship. We were 16 days on this ship, and through the Bay of Biscay, we went through the most enormous storm. And it was wonderful when we got to Cape Town to get out and stand on firm land. The earth is something that's steady, that's firm, you can depend on, it's always there. But even though the earth give way, that would cause you fear, wouldn't it? Even though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, what happens when a mountain falls into the sea? Well, that's a volcano, I think it's talking about. It causes a tsunami, doesn't it? Though its waters roar and foam, that's a tsunami. And the mountains quake with their surging. Now, I don't think they were playing their instruments quietly in this. It was given the idea of chaos, noise, uncertainty. And it's a rising crescendo. Selah. Stop. and think about that. So if I were to put a heading for this, what would you put as a heading for this? All sorts of... But the heading I've put is a refuge in the storm. We have a refuge in the storm. Let's go to the next section. Verse 4 to 7 is the next section. Just pray my voice holds out, will you? So that's a refuge in the storm. Chaos, noise, uncertainty. Life is falling apart. But here, sudden change. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, where God dwells. I think it's Jerusalem. But it can be here, it can be in your house, it can be anywhere. So there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Where God dwells, that's his city. God is within her. It's the feminine in the Hebrew, because God has a love affair with this, with these people. She will not fall. Despite all that we've just read, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord there is in capital letters, you know, and that's, it's really a bit of a mystery. The Jews were afraid to pronounce the name of God, and so when they translated it afterwards, they tried to hide it, Yahweh. And so when you see capital letters in the English, Lord, when it says small letters, that means Adonai. When you see capital letters, that is the name Yahweh, which I'll talk about in a minute. But Yahweh is a personal name of God, God's own personal name. Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Just be quiet and think about that. So if I were to put a title on this, what would I say? First of all, a refuge in the storm. And secondly, a river in the city. Let's go on to number 3. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. When he comes back again, every war will cease. So we're looking forward to that. But even now, God is active, is at work in the universe. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am, present tense, that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. What title would I put on that? First of all, a refuge in the storm. Secondly, a river in the city. And thirdly, a reason to be still. We have a reason to be still. So let's go on to the next one. So that's my 3 points for this morning. A refuge in the storm, a river in the city, and a reason to be still. So let's just look at those things. A refuge in the storm. When you look at those verses, verse 1 to 3, I wonder if you could go back to verse 1 and 3, just to remind us. When you look at those verses in verse 1 to 3, there was every reason to be afraid. It wasn't unreasonable. Like those disciples in the boat when it was about to sink, and Jesus said, why are you afraid? Well, there was every reason to be afraid. And when you look at that, the mountains falling down, the earth giving way, the tsunamis, the waters. There's every reason to be afraid, isn't there? Wouldn't you be afraid if you were in that situation? Earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis. Everything that they trusted, everything that they depended upon, everything that was firm. There's nothing. The mountains, they last forever, don't they? But everything was falling to pieces.
When you look at the world today, doesn't it give you the same feeling?
When we had those three things this morning to pray about, in my own life, I think, oh, there's a lot to be afraid of in this world. Don't you ever feel afraid?
We're going to, next week on Thursday, we're travelling to Zambia, right on the borders of Congo. And every day we've been listening this week, Ebola, travelling all the way through Congo, and cholera,
antibiotic resistance, malarial resistance.
And there's every reason to be afraid when you go there.
When you look at our world, even here in this country,
my son's an oceanographer, but we look at the seas, we look at the rivers,
polluted.
I haven't been sleeping very well, so I've been getting up very early in the morning, going for a walk, and we live on a busy road, and you think at 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock, it'd be quiet. But these enormous lorries come along, and I do manage to go off in a little quiet place. I go for a three-mile walk, and I come back, and I really enjoy it. But then I worry. All these cars, and I think, all these particulates out of the exhaust coming into my lungs. And the world's economy, doesn't that make you afraid?
10 years of austerity and there's no end in sight. And they've even taken away our free TV license. Would you believe it?
But it says,
you know what it says? God.
And the word for God there is Elohim. And the word Elohim is a plural.
This is one God. We don't believe in the pluralities of God. There's one God. But our God is Father. Our God is Son.
Our God is Holy Spirit.
Everything that we need,
we find in God. God is our refuge.
A refuge, a place to hide. To retreat, a place to retreat into. The name of God is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and are safe.
Elohim, a refuge to hide.
Strength, this is an active word, a place to advance, to go out and to fight, and the gates of hell cannot stand up against it. That's our God. And when we really know what God is like, what his name means, what his character is like, when we look at the history of God throughout the world, when I look at the history of God in my past 63 years as a Christian, and even before I became a Christian, I say to myself, therefore. I look back,
therefore,
we will not fear.
Fear
is what destroys people's lives, you know.
Fear.
But 366 times, I haven't personally counted them myself, but 366 times in the Bible it says, don't be afraid.
Fear not. Fear, anxiety, destroys lives.
One of the things I tried to teach my African friends out there, they live in mud huts and their houses are always falling down and they're always grass roof gets on fire. I tried to teach them to do a bit of building. And I taught them how to use, how to get a square corner, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know that. I'm not very good at mathematics, but we made a triangle out of 3, 4, 5 and show them how to get. And they learned so many things about putting roofs on and houses, but one thing they would not change. They build very small windows in their houses, and you go inside and it's dark and miserable, but tiny windows. I've got a great big window. I built my house there. We built it out of mud bricks. And the whole wall is one window because you can see out on the river and the view. And but they don't want that.
Tiny windows. I said, why do you want such small windows?
To stop the evil spirits coming in and destroying our lives. They live their lives in terror. Every little kids up to a... Fear.
Fear.
It destroys their lives and it destroys their families.
But you know, it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and this message was not for you this morning, this message was for me. I've been battling with this message in my mind for the last few months. But it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, don't forget that, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will garrison and guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Jump down a few verses and it says, and the God of peace will be with you. Therefore, we will not fear. So as we look at these terrible things that are happening in the world and in our lives and this bad news that we receive, remember this, there's a refuge in the storm. Elohim, the God who will meet our every need. Selah, pause and think about that. Just go on to the next bit. A river in the city. We have a river in the city. Now this jumps from this chaos. You can see all this chaos, mountains falling down and tsunamis and lives being destroyed. But now we've got a picture of peace, haven't we? A river in the city. You know, the great capitals of the world, one thing that makes them great is they have rivers. A river's a very important thing for transport, for fertilization, especially in Egypt, the River Nile, for protection, it forms a boundary, for beauty, you get the trees, it's always beautiful. Rachel's absolutely delighted when she sees a river, it fills her with joy. Me too. Protection, beauty, tranquility. And you think of the great cities, Thebes has the Nile, Babylon, the Euphrates, Rome, the Tiber, London, the Thames, Paris, the Seine, Jerusalem, no river. There might be a stream there, but there's no river in Jerusalem. But God disagrees here. What does he say? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, Jerusalem. Notice it says streams. It's one river, but it's got several different currents in this river. The holy place where the Most High dwelt. God is within her. Jerusalem does have a river. Far more wonderful than the Thames or the Seine or any other river. What's the river in Jerusalem? God is within her. She will not fall. God is there. God is within the river. God is the river in the city. He dwells. The presence of God. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. At Nyangombe, I picked it. I walked for 2 years through the African bush. I stood on so many snakes and other dangers and got lost. But we found this river called the Nyangombe. And we wanted to put electricity in there. And so I had to measure the river. I was given the job by... We wanted to buy hydroelectric from Osberger in Germany. And I had to measure the river. They said, tell us what is the flow of the river? What is the volume in the river? And all about the river. Well, I'm totally useless at maths. But I got a bottle, an empty bottle, with a bit of water to make it sink slightly. And I got an African friend, and we spent days putting it in the river. We measured out an area and taking the speed at what the bottle went down the river. But I found some strange things. In the middle of the river, it went at a different speed. If I put more water in the bottle so it went deeper in the river, it went at a different speed. If there were rocks on the bottom, it was a different speed. If there was sand on the bottom, it was different. If it came near to the edge, sometimes it even went backwards at the edge. It was one river, but there were many streams within this river. And you know, that's what God is like. God is one God, but there are so many aspects to the character and person of God that he can meet the need of 7 billion people in this world. And one thing we did at Nyangombe, one thing about that, not only does it have streams in the river, but it divides into three streams. And it's so wonderful. One stream goes over here, and it goes over a beautiful waterfall. It's lovely, you have to come and see it. And another goes over a big waterfall, and there's another comes down right through the middle where I have my swimming pool, a natural swimming pool. One of them we use for the hydroelectric. So it produces power and light on all the work we do at Nyangombe. And the lights at night come from one stream. Another stream feeds the hydrum, which pumps water for us. And all those people that, water is such a precious thing, especially in Africa. And it pumps up the water 24 hours a day for all the people on our mission. And we have a hospital and it gives water to all them. So one feeds power, another feeds the water needs, and the other has got lovely palm trees. The screw palm, I don't know if you know the screw palm, but the roots come from high up the tree, out of the water, and they go down into the water. And I've got this swimming pool, it's in rock all the way around. Because we have bilharzia, a terrible disease, but nothing there because there are no snails. It's rock all the way, and the water comes over the waterfall into this river, and it goes out and it flows. And it's lovely to go when it's very hot in the afternoon to go into that area. And it's surrounded by these palm trees and the noise, and sometimes you get a rainbow as the sun shines through the spray. What a lovely place. Well, it says here that there are many streams which make glad. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is our river. If any man believe in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. God within us flows out to feed power and light and blessings and satisfaction to a world in which we live. It's a wonderful thing to walk with God, isn't it? So it says that this is Yahweh of hosts, the Lord of hosts. The word Yahweh is a word that comes from a Hebrew verb, chaya, chaya. And the verb chaya means to be, the present tense, I am. The God that we have is the God of I am. Now is the God of now. It's always now to God. He's the God of now. Whenever you are, he's the God of now. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And Yahweh is Hebrew. But if you say Yahweh salvation, it's Yah. They can cut it short, Yahweh. You can cut it short to Yah and put a bit on the end, Shua, Yahshua. And that means God is salvation, or God saves. He's a God who intervenes, who's active in our lives. Yahweh. But if you put that into Greek, you know, names change when you change from one language to another. So Yahshua, that's Yahweh, I am, Shua, I am salvation, the intervener in life. Put it into Greek and you get Iye or Iyah. Shu, they don't use shu, they say su. And if somebody's masculine, they put an S on the end. So, ie, su, s. And what does that sound like to you? That's in Greek. But if you put that into English, you know, we didn't used to have the J in the English language. Did you know that? It came about 300 years ago. We had ya, a Y. So, ie, Jesus became Jesus, which we now today pronounce as Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. Before Abraham was, I am Jesus. This is the God we worship. When you have Jesus, you have everything. What a river to have in your life, to have Jesus in your life. And he's the, you notice what it says, I am Yahweh of hosts. Innumerable servants of God in heaven and on earth. He has a mighty army, does this God, and he's tied his name eternally to a scoundrel. Do you see that? Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Yahovah, Jacob. Jacob, the scoundrel, the twister, the heel grabber. My name's James, and James actually means Yahovah, James, Jacob. I am a Jacob, because that's what I was before I became a Christian. But now I'm a Barry, which in the Scottish language means fortress. So that's a wonderful. What a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. So Elohim of Jacob, Selah. Just think about that. Yeah, he's a refuge in the storm. But then you find as you walk with him, he becomes a river of satisfaction in the city. The city's a place of order. But then let's go on to the third one. Time's gone. I've forgotten what time you finished, so I'm not going to ask you. Three. A reason to be still. He's given us a reason to be still there. There's the reason. Be still and know that I am Chaya, Yahweh, Yesu. Be still and know that I am Elohim, God, the Almighty One. Elohim comes from the word El, and the word El is a singular, and it means power. We often say El Shaddai. El is the masculine, powerful one, El. When it's linked to Shaddai, Shaddai is a Hebrew word which means comes from the root shad. And shad means breast. What does the breast mean to a little baby? All sufficiency, isn't it? The source of comfort. It's the motherhood, the femininity of God. What a wonderful God we have. A reason to be still. God in the world that is in chaos. But he's able to quieten and cover and meet whatever threat is against us. Sometimes I pray and I say, Lord, why do you never answer prayers? And I sit down and think, and there are thousands and thousands of prayers that God has answered in my life. What a sin to say such a thing. Why pray? Because God answers prayer. Not always in the way you think. We always say that, don't we? But God is infinite in knowledge and wisdom. When you do theology, they talk about two things, deism and theism. I have a friend who's a deist. I am a theist. What are you this morning? You know, you take a watch. Deism is like a watch. And it's created, it's made, it's designed, it's beautiful, but it doesn't work. It's there. It doesn't work until you put a battery in. I used to say wind up. I've stopped saying that because young people don't know what you're talking about. You put a battery in. When you put the power in, it works, doesn't it? And what does the maker do? Once you put the battery in, it takes its hands off and leaves it be. It runs by itself. He did it in the first place, but then leaves it to itself to run according to the laws of physics. That's deism. Theism, well, deism is when, you know, God made the world, then took his hands off. There's not much point of praying about that. You've got to trust the laws of physics. God made it, he made the laws of physics, now he's taken his hands off and it will run along. But that battery runs out, doesn't it? The battery's running down all the time. And sometimes you see it getting slower and slower and erratic. It runs down and then it stops. But when I went to Kamapanda, there was a missionary there, Mrs. Bentley, and she was given a watch in her youth. And she was from 1940 to 19, sure, how long? She was there for over 40 years and that watch never stopped. In fact, it didn't stop for another 20 years after that. She was in her 80s before the watch stopped. Because the watch, it had a balance wheel in it, and as long as she moved around, it was self-winding. If she moved every day, even in her sleep at night, it wound itself up. It was made, but to keep going, it depended on the life of the person who was wearing it, you see. So it kept going. It wasn't wound up and then its hand and the hand's taken off. No, as long as she was alive, the watch would keep going. That's theism. We believe that God made the world, but keeps it going. As long as God is alive, the watch will keep going. But when Mrs. Bentley died, I went and, you know, the watch had stopped. The watch was silent. Because she was dead. If God ever dies, stop praying. There won't be any point in praying. I'm a theist because I believe that God lives and he intervenes in the world. He's active in the world. I don't trust the laws of physics. I believe the laws of physics totally depend on a living God. A God of order. A God that created us. I was very anxious at one time, and we were on holiday in Cornwall. I was very anxious. I was having trouble with my eyes and didn't know where it was going, and I was really, and I woke up so depressed, and I read this psalm, and I saw these words: "Be still and know that I am God." And immediately I felt a sense of peace. Immediately. And I said, "Lord, I feel that you've spoken to me. But if you have spoken to me, will you confirm it today? Will you confirm it to me that this has come from you for my particular situation?" So I wanted, you know, let me see this word again. Let me see this somewhere again today. Be still and know that I am God. So we had our breakfast and got up and walked. And we walked along the cliff tops right down into, where were we? I can't remember. St. Ives. And as you get into, before you get there, there's a lovely restaurant right out on the sea. And there's big windows that look out onto the sea. It's very windy and there were waves going. And we went in, no one else in there because it was very windy. We went in and we were quiet. And we had a cup of tea. And suddenly a young couple came in, a young man. He had a tattoo on his arm. And he wore a vest that was cut off here. And he was full of muscles. A big guy he was, and he came with his work, and they sat there talking to each other, and he ran ships, and he couldn't go out because he was too. But as I looked at him, I noticed something written on his arm, on the tattoo, and I looked very carefully, and you know what it said on his arm? "Be still, yeah. And know that I am God." Just what I'd prayed for. So I went over and we sat down with them. And I said, "God has used you to speak to me today." He said, "In what way?" I said, "Because I prayed this morning that that God would speak to me by giving me this verse of scripture. And here it is on your arm. Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, I'm not a Christian." He said, "But I did go to Sunday school as a child. And when I was in Sunday school, I remember the teacher saying this verse. So as a teenager, I went off and had this tattooed on my arm. Then he forgot all about it." So we spent an hour there talking to them about the gospel. I had a wonderful time where we shared emails afterwards, especially with the young woman. Oh, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? And God says, I will be exalted in the earth. I've almost finished, forgive me. But it says he's the Lord of hosts. God is active in the world today. I've seen it over and over, over again. And in my life, God is active. I went to Zambia once, and just before I went, very early on, I got a letter from my colleague out there saying, the hydrum has broken down, and there's a part, would you buy it? Well, I didn't have the money to buy it. It cost over £50, and this was when I first went out to Zambia, so that would be a lot more than that now. But anyhow, the Lord provided the money, and I bought, and it looked just like a mine. It was a brass thing like this with holes in the top. It was a filter for the hydrum. The water used to shoot out the top. Very heavy, a really heavy thing. It was half my luggage, so I wasn't too happy in carrying this thing. But it cost over £50, and Zambia was in a difficult... It was bankrupt at that time, and you weren't allowed to take things into the country. And if you didn't have all the proper paperwork and everything, you were in real trouble. And this came at the last minute, so I didn't know what to do, but I bought it, and I took it in my hand luggage. It was up to nightmare carrying this thing all the way there. But I was worried the whole journey. I was sick with worry. What am I going to do when I get into Lusaka, to the customs, and I present this thing that looks like a mine, and I haven't got the proper documentation, I haven't a penny to pay for any customs, I just do not know what to do. Lord, please help me. And everybody got off the plane, and I walked through, and I just stood there, and I did not know what to do. And as I stood there, just for a few minutes, a uniformed man came up, one of the customs men, and said, can I help you? Now, that doesn't usually happen. That was quite unusual. I said, yes. He said, have you got anything to declare? I said, well, I have. He said, well, come with me. He didn't even ask what it was. So he took me through a door, along a corridor, round a corner, another corridor, and into a little room. And he said, what have you got? And I said, I've got this thing. So he got out a piece of paper and a stamp. He stamped it and gave it back to me and said, you can go. No discussion whatsoever. So I came out, went through the customs, and I looked around to say thank you to this man, and I couldn't see where he was. Now, I'm not saying he was an angel, but he was an angel. He was an angel to me, because God is what? He's Elohim of hosts. He has innumerable angels above that can meet our needs when he wants to, but on earth he's got his people. Sometimes it's Osiris. Osiris was a man who didn't believe in God, and yet he was the one that liberated God's people. Our God is bigger than we can ever think or ever imagine. The time has gone, forgive me. So I've got 3 points to leave you with this morning. Selah. What are these 3 points? We have a refuge in the storm. We have a river in the city. And we have a reason to be still. Let's put these 3 things into practice. Amen.